And I think we're in the midst of a real sea change when we think about sustainability, because for many years, sustainability has been about doing less harm, emitting less CO2, wasting less water, ensuring less waste goes to the landfill. And those strategies and tactics around sustainability have not adequately addressed the challenges that we're facing in the world, both environmentally, but socially as well. And it's dangerous to separate the social dimension out of the notion of sustainability and just focus on the environment, because we can't have a healthy environment when we're not paying people a living wage. I don't think the U.S. government should be subsidizing the payroll costs of business. Business should be paying a wage that people can live on.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Jeffrey Hollander, CEO of American Sustainable Business Council, and in my opinion, the father of the sustainable consumer goods and thought movement in America. He is the co-founder of Seventh Generation. It is a privilege to have you on Mindful Businesses. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Happy to be here with you.
You co-founded Seventh Generation in 1988. That's about 33 years ago. The sustainable goods industry was at its nascency. Most people didn't even think about recycling or green practices in their everyday life. Did most municipalities even have curbside recycling then?
Generally speaking, not. I mean, we were quite far ahead of the curve, which sometimes is a blessing and sometimes is a curse. If you're that far ahead of the curse, you better be good at surviving, because it took our culture and our society many years, and in some respects, they're still catching up with the idea that the choices that we make in the products that we purchase and use can have a huge impact on society and the planet.
How did you think about these things? Because it wasn't the norm. What influenced you to think about these practices, about being green, about being sustainable?
So back in 1985, I wrote a book called How to Make the World a Better Place, A Beginner's Guide. And that book was my exploration of all the things we could do as individuals to make a contribution to solving the challenges that our planet faces. And in writing that book, it became clear to me that business had an important role to play in addressing the challenges we were facing. And of all the businesses that I could think of, the environment was an area where business could make perhaps the biggest contribution. So the idea was quite simple: sell products that lessen your negative footprint, imprint on the planet, water conservation, energy conservation, and other products that mitigated the negative impact that most of us have on the planet. And that was an idea that appealed mostly to members of environmental organizations. It was not an idea that appealed to the public widely till probably a decade or so later.
And how old were you when you wrote that book?
I think I was about 31. I had just sold my first business to Warner Communications. It was a publishing company, and I took some time off after the business was sold to sort of figure out what I was going to do next in my life. And writing the book was my way of figuring that out.
You did not graduate from college.
I did not. I went to Hampshire College for a year and a half, but then I took a year off and never went back. And again, not that I'm not a huge advocate of education, I just didn't like being a full-time student. Every business that I've been involved with subsequent to dropping out of college has been very educationally focused. Much of what Seventh Generation had to do was to educate people on the connection between their behavior and product choices in the planet. So education has featured prominently in all the businesses that I've started. And in fact, the first business I started was a continuing education program.
So my father was an entrepreneur his whole life. He felt that education, though it opened your mind, often also held you back. he would call it the handicap of a learned man or woman. So do you think it made you more maverick? It did not restrain you. You were a creative, smart person, not going to college, not being constrained by people's thought. You could create your own thoughts.
Well, I think there were two positive things about not going to college. I mean, one, in terms of my business career, I got a head start of almost 6 years on people that go to college and then go get an MBA. So I had already had a lot of firsthand business experience by the time they graduated from their MBA programs. Mm-hmm. But secondly, I learned something that was really important, which was there's almost nothing you can't teach yourself or find some very bright person to help you learn. And that process of educating myself on issues that are new to me and finding mentors to help teach me about those things was really a powerful experience, because by choosing my mentors rather than depending upon the teacher that was assigned to the class I enrolled for, I could choose some really wonderful people. And I had the incredible, unique luck to study with people like Marshall McLuhan, to study with people like incredible educational philosopher Ivan Illich, who wrote Deschooling Society, and a number of other wonderful, wonderful mentors. And in some ways, you know, that's how I got my education.
So how hard was it to go against the grain and how to even educate the consumer? One of your products early on was
Low flow showerhead.
So how hard was it at that time to go completely against the grain? Now we know terminologies like green initiatives or sustainable initiatives. At that point in time, people didn't even use these words in everyday business or everyday life.
It was certainly a challenge. I mean, I think we were able to make a good argument that a low flow showerhead not only helps save fresh water, which is a resource that we're running out of, but low-flow showerheads actually reduced your consumption of hot water, which allowed you to actually save money every time you took a shower. And we would present the customer with both the environmental and the financial argument for the use of the product. And it's really interesting because over 30 years later, those low-flow showerheads are mandated in most hotel rooms and public showers. So again, we were ahead of our time, but we're definitely on to something that is a really important tool in fighting climate change, as well as the limited amount of fresh water that we have available to us.
And sustainability for any brand is a journey. You know, we evolve, right? There's no absolute.
No, we're all on a spectrum of great to horrible, and we're somewhere in between. And I think we're in the midst of a real sea change when we think about sustainability, because for many years, sustainability has been about doing less harm, mm-hmm. emitting less CO2, wasting less water, ensuring less waste goes to the landfill. And those strategies and tactics around sustainability have not adequately addressed the challenges that we're facing in the world, both environmentally, but socially as well. And today, I think we have to move towards an approach that is either called net positive or regenerative, where we can't be focused on not doing harm and not doing something bad. We actually have to focus on fixing the challenges that we're facing. Mm-hmm. We have to focus on regenerating the soil by using regenerative agriculture practices that build up the quality of the soil, that sequester CO2 in the soil. And agriculture is a wonderful place to practice these regenerative tactics, because businesses selling products that come from agriculture can play a very important role in their supply chain by helping the source that they're working with move in a more responsible direction.
Sustainability is not only environment. It requires that we pay fair wages, we pay benefits, time off, maternity leave, and job security. What was the culture at Seventh Generation?
You know, in many ways, many companies like to market what's good about them, and it looks better from the outside than it does from the inside. Our goal was to sort of flip that around and share some of the good things we were doing with our customers and our stakeholders, but really work hard to do things like create the best working experience that